For those of you who don't know me, my name is Hannah Stelmakovic, and I am your facilitator for this meeting and hopefully many more meetings ahead of us. And I'm with the Institute for Local Government, which is a nonprofit organization that promotes good governance practices, and good public engagement is one of the good governance practices. So welcome again. Just a couple housekeeping items before we start. As always, we have some food for you, and don't forget to take some food home. After this meeting is over, we're going to have lots of leftovers, okay? Bathrooms are outside to your right. Also, I want to introduce my colleague, Nicole Unrad. She is also with the Institute for Local Government. Nicole is my co-facilitator. Come closer. Don't be a stranger. Nicole is my co-facilitator, and she will be taking notes. And as you guys know, meeting notes are posted online 1 week after the meeting is over. Okay? Okay. So I would like to invite a couple people right here in front of the room with me, Gustavo and John. Please come on down. Come on down. We have extra microphone. So as you guys remember, almost a month ago, we had a big event here in this own room, about 7.5 hour event, where CARB reviewed and approved SERPs, Shafter and Fresno SERPs. And our wonderful community members, steering committee members, hardworking steering committee members would like to say a couple words about that.
Thank you. Yes, hello. Can you guys hear me? Cool. Good evening, everyone. My name is Gustavo Aguirre Jr., and I'm an active steering committee member here for the community of Shafter. And on the 13th of February, some of you guys might have been here. Some of you guys might have live streamed it. Some of you guys kind of got some notes back. But after our supplemental or community emissions reduction program with the San Joaquin Valley Pollution Air Control District was approved, then it got approved by the California Air Resources Board. And here in this room, we had the honor of hosting the executive board for CARB. The morning of, a lot of us had the privilege and honor to kind of come together to take a tour, to get to know the community a little bit better, to get to know some of the residents, to get to know some of the industrial partners, and what are the kind of positive things that are ongoing. And then just to give you guys a really high-level overview of some of the good things that came from this, was the fact that we were able to all work together to come and find common space and common ground and what it is to work collaboratively in community and to bring, you know, positivity to this community. There are some things that we're taking away from it. One was we complained about having the same food every meeting, and it looks like it worked. That's awesome. We also talked to, yes. we also... Dora, nice. Thank you, Dora. We also talked about the commitment of the $29 million and the plan to have that money be centric for Shafter and the 7 mile radius, and to stay here in this community and not have it kind of just dilute into other parts of the county or in other communities as much as they might need it. And then also the flexibility to be able to, if there is a program that is undersubscribed and there is some money available within that program, and there's other programs that are oversubscribed, to be able to shift money within the Shafter region, within the 7 mile radius. Obviously, you know, making sure that the steering committee is always a part of that and is always having those conversations. So from kind of an environmental justice perspective, from a community member's perspective, it was a good turnout. It was a long evening. But I think from the day that we started till the 13th of February, we progressed a lot. We found a lot of common ground, and there is still a lot of work to do. February 13 was day one of this entire process for the implementation phase. And then just lastly, one of the other things that I thought was promising or was good was the fact that we'll be able to report back to the executive board on a 6-month period and at a 12-month period. And that will be a report back from the steering committee members, hopefully from the air districts, and then from CARBS themselves, and then all the other partners like the Department of Pesticide Regulation. So those were some of the kind of just things that I took away from that evening, from that meeting. But, you know, I thought it was a good start to this year, which will be the implementation phase year. So thank you.
Yeah, there's not a lot I can add to what Gustavo said. I think a couple of things. I mean, the CARB board was really, very receptive and I think received the committee very well. I didn't stay for the Fresno portion, so I'm not quite sure what if there was any difference between the two. But the CARB board was certainly appreciative of this committee coming together, and I think the way this committee came together was good, in that we were able to put some of the more contentious issues, such as Talone, in a position that the Department of Pesticide Regulation will be working with, and everyone understands how that'll work. We were able to put the land use issues, in the proper spot that it needs to be in, and I think it was important that the entire community came together and was able to support it. So in this particular case, as hard as it was, I think what the CARB board appreciated was that there was, for the most part, the ag community, the oil community, and the environmental justice community supporting the CERP. The things that are most important coming forward, and I think they're important to the CARB board, is going to be our monitoring program. I mean, the work really is beginning. I mean, it is really understanding exactly what we have, and I think with the monitoring program, we should be able to know exactly what we have, being able to implement the CERP, which is obviously going to be a tremendous amount of work for all of us. So it was a good evening. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, John and Gustavo.
Thank you.
Well, to John's point, the work is just beginning with implementation and monitoring. But also we have achieved a big milestone. And how about we're going to give ourselves a round of applause? Okay. You are Scott. We have a couple more speakers here.
Thank you, Hannah, very much. Ryan Hayashi, I'm the Deputy Air Pollution Control Officer with the district. I just want to echo John and Gustavo's sentiments. I mean, tremendous amount of work. On behalf of Samir Sheikh, our Executive Officer, Air Pollution Control Officer, everybody at the district, we just can't thank the community enough for all the time and the effort that they've put into the community emission reduction program that was presented to the ARB board and later approved. Through this process as an organization, we've continued to learn a lot from you. I think where we started at day one versus where we were at once the program was approved, it was night and day. That being said, these meetings, these ongoing meetings, are going to be crucial to actually putting all that effort into action and making those qualitative improvements in the community of Shafter. Speaking for myself and the rest of our team, we're thrilled to work with you on these things. As a former inspector, one of the things I always loved about the job was being able to come out to the communities, whether it was through a complaint investigation or things of that nature, and put an end to issues. And I see it kind of the same way here. Through the measures that we've proposed, that you've proposed, that you brought to us, the ideas and suggestions, once we start enacting those and putting those getting those emission reductions from all these various measures, we're going to see those improvements. And I look forward to being here and seeing it for myself. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Good evening. Scott Wall with the California Air Resources Board. You've already heard it, but again, huge accomplishment. Congratulations on the board's approval of the Shafter SERP. It was a long but great productive evening. The board tour earlier in the day and that evening meeting really did kind of culminate over a year of very hard work of this committee and the district. So I think it's important to acknowledge that, acknowledge the fact that we all learned a lot as the first year process. The district I know kind of, you know, came away with learnings. I know that you all came away with learnings. CARB certainly learned a lot and really is helping us to kick off to a pretty successful implementation phase in the AB 617 communities, as well as really benefiting the new communities coming on board for the second year. But really, what I think was most important was you all obviously have passion for Shafter, and it was just palpable. And your hard work really did, you know, your dedication, you stuck with it even when the going got tough. And so I just really want to acknowledge everybody on the committee for everything that you've done to get that SERP to the point where you were comfortable with it and the board could approve it. And Gus and John, thank you so much for representing the committee perspectives to the board that night so well. You did a great job. And it was great having Jessica Olson and Samir up at the table with us in a decision-making capacity that really helped to get, again, kind of some changes made to the SERP that was that were necessary really to get it to the point of approval. There are several things that we heard from the board specific to the Shafter SERP. Now, Gus kind of touched on these a little bit, but I'll go into a little bit more detail because we're currently working on actually making these changes to the resolution, which will be kind of the guidance document of the changes that were made, excuse me, that evening by our board, or kind of the directive that we were given as staff to make sure got captured in the resolution. That one was the funding of the replacement of natural gas residential heating devices with electric heat pumps, even if the household is not replacing a fireplace or wood-burning device. So that is getting captured into the resolution. Another piece that's getting captured in the resolution is making sure that there's flexibility in the passenger vehicle replacement program so that that strategy can be fully subscribed. So actually having some flexibility with the rules of the years of the cars getting replaced to make sure that all of that money for that program can stay here in Shafter. And then the third one that we're incorporating into the resolution is providing resources so that the trees in the urban greening strategy will be maintained. So those were the three kind of things specific to the Shafter SERP that the board directed us during the meeting, actually, to include in the resolution. And then, as Gus said, a couple of other things that the board asked us to do was to make sure that we come back in 6 months and a year. So our group that actually is responsible for managing and kind of arranging the logistics of these offsite meetings, and actually even our meetings in Sacramento, they are currently working at looking at dates. We're thinking it's going to be August to September timeframe that this meeting will be occurring, and the board directed us to hold that meeting in Fresno. So that first report back will be in Fresno. They also directed us to make sure that your input was actually kind of integrated into that report for the report back. They directed us to actually create a template that can be used statewide, actually, that for reporting back on implementation that includes any additional strategies that have been identified. So that was a question I know in the meeting of, you know, can we add strategies? Absolutely. So this template that we're going to be creating will capture that. So I think the final thing is that our legal team is going back through the transcripts from the board meeting, so we haven't released the final resolution yet because the legal team is making sure that everything that was discussed is captured appropriately in the resolution before it's finalized and posted. So with that, any questions for me?
So. On the urban greening, you did mention that, and the board mentioned that it was obvious not enough money was placed into that category. So where do you see that extra money coming from?
Our direction was not to, like, find the money. Our direction was to actually make sure that got captured into the resolution as being something that was necessary in implementation. I think that's really kind of more of a district question that would be asked of them. It's not something I don't believe that we have the kind of the place or the leverage to figure out where the funding is going to come from.
Okay. I'd like to suggest right now for the Air District, for getting extra money for urban greening, to go to the VERA agreement with high-speed rail, which I understand is approximately, for the first four construction packages, about $6 million. I may be wrong. I'm sort of estimating. But in our seven-mile radius, we got about 6 miles of that 120 miles they're building currently, which is about 5%. So that would be $300,000. A good application of that would be in the urban greening, I think. And I think other people might agree with that.
That can be part of the discussion, I'm sure.
And I actually did a serious, I seriously overlooked all the folks that participated in the tour that morning. Bianca, Gus, yeah. Thank you so much for kind of like spearheading the route on that. And for all of you that were on the bus and sharing your perspectives with the board, I can't tell you, I mean, they were still talking about that. So the board loved the tours, and having you present and kind of sharing your stories and giving your perspectives were a huge part of that being successful. So thank you for all of you that were involved in that as well. So, did I see another hand back there with a question?
Wait for the mic. Wayne Klossman, City of Shafter. You captured that point that I guess all the committee's comments were to be included in that 6 month report. Is that something we should start working on? How that the template for how that's going to be provided? Because there will be comments that oppose some of the implementation. There'll be comments for it, and we maybe should start working on that template of how that's going to be provided in the report rather than some last second way of capturing all those.
Yeah, I think that I would defer to the district on that, since the, kind of this is the SERP and the report back and all that is really their process. So we're not prescriptive. What I will say is that there might be some logic to waiting to see what the template that CARB generates to see kind of how that would fit into that, and maybe the process then would tweak based upon that. That's would be my recommendation, but certainly I think, yeah, it's great to have that discussion with the district. Anything else?
Any other questions? Oh, we have a hand from the public.
Hi, Linda with Kern Council of Governments. I just wanted to note that Arvin and McFarland have been successful in getting CAL FIRE urban forestry grants. Those were last due in November, so coming up this year, I can keep an eye out for that, and the City of Shafter can keep an eye out for that to see if we can get some urban forestry funding from CAL FIRE. And then my other question was, from the meeting, there was a suggestion that community members receive a stipend, and I was just wondering what was the follow-up for that.
So from CARB's perspective, I've not been involved in the follow-up discussions on the stipends, so it's not something that I'll be able to answer for you. I know that there has been a lot of discussion statewide about stipends for the steering committees, but what that looks like at this point, I don't know the answer to that, but I know that that's all being worked on from a much higher level, several steps above my pay grade.
We saw another
so
hand.
Let me get my... I don't have the...
Okay, so for those of you, go ahead and turn, get your translation devices out and turn this middle button. And for those of you who don't have translation devices, they're right at the table. And turn the middle button so we can all understand what's happening. Un momento, por favor.
Tengo una pregunta. Si se llegaran a recibir fondos, como está hablando la señorita, la señora que puede donar algo, ¿lo van a contribuir con lo que ya está en el plan o se puede usar para otra cosa más necesaria para Shafter?
I would probably want to defer to the district on that. I mean, from our perspective at CARB, what our board instructed us to do is to make sure that those items, that the additional items, got captured in the resolution, so they got actually kind of documented that they were to be part of the emission reduction program.
So what we're hearing here is urban greening is very important for the community. Tom, thank you for the comment. Maria, thank you for the comment. So looks like we're going to have someone will keep an eye on any additional money that can cover urban greening type of things. Also, urban greening grants just came out. The NOFA just came out. So definitely we're hearing you loud and clear that this is important for the community. Okay, we're gonna take a couple more questions and we'll move on with our agenda items.
As you move into the urban green, there's a new law called SGMA, the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. And so as you continue to put more trees, there's a requirement of this basin is an overdraft to the tune of 350,000 acre feet per year. So as you move that forward, you have to take that into consideration as to where is the water going to come from in order to maintain the landscape, the greenery that you guys are referring to. So we got to kind of balance the other part of this basin that we're currently going into.
So urban greening, am I on? Yeah. Urban greening was one of the strategies that this group prioritized in the SERP. And we're going to discuss our plan a little later on tonight to bring in experts to talk about urban greening. There's the Kern Tree Foundation. There's Relief, which is a state agency. There's what used to be Tree Fresno and I think called San Joaquin Green now. They're now a Valley organization to come in. They're familiar with the grant programs. They're also familiar with some of the sustainability water use issues. We're not the experts when it comes to urban greening, so we're going to bring in those folks that do know exactly what's available, what's sustainable. So we're going to discuss kind of where we prioritize that in the list, where I should say where you all prioritize that a little later on tonight.
Okay, great. I'm going to take one last comment and then we're going to move on with our agenda. Hello, Philip.
Pues yo pienso que los árboles les puede dar mantenimiento a los trabajadores de aquí de la ciudad.
Okay, thank you for that suggestion. So did you get that? City maintenance for the trees. Okay, thank you so much. Again, we're here you loud and clear that urban greening is very important to Shafter, to you folks, and we continue to revisit these conversations about urban greening. Now, I want to keep you moving, keep you on time. Let me tell you what's on your table, what type of materials. You have agenda, and folks, members of the public, materials are up front. You have agenda here. Also, you have a copy of the presentation that's coming in just a moment, implementation update on implementation of SERP incentive strategies. And then you have another handout, which will guide our discussion after the presentation. Okay? All right. I'm going to turn it over to Todd. And he's going to provide update on implementation of SERP incentive strategies. And you are welcome to follow his presentation and make some notes on the PowerPoint.
Thank you very much, and good evening. My name is Todd DeYoung, the Director of Grants and Incentives with the Air District, and I'm here tonight to provide you with an update and sort of a blueprint moving forward on now that the SERPs have been implemented, now that they've been approved, we move into the implementation phase, and this is very exciting for us at the Air District, as it is, I'm sure, for all of you. This is kind of where the rubber meets the road, and all of the great things that you guys have been working on and have prioritized, this is where we start to actually implement those measures. Sorry, I'm being told to go a little bit slower. My apologies. So I will go ahead and start with just a brief update, and this is sort of an overview. As you remember over several meetings, this committee went through a variety of different exercises to prioritize the SERP incentive measures. And again, these are not all of the SERP measures. These are the specific incentive-related SERP measures. There are a variety of other measures that are not incentive-related, which will be captured in a different meeting. This is specific to the incentive measures that were prioritized by this group. You went through a variety of exercises, and you ranked the order in which you would like to see these prioritized. So just this first slide kind of shows that priority, starting with the low-dust nut harvesters, heavy-duty truck replacement, our alternatives to ag burning, which is our chipping and grinding and soil incorporation of woody material. We have school bus replacement. We have electric school bus projects, agricultural tractor replacement for tractors that operate within the seven-mile radius. We have vegetative barriers. And agricultural engine replacements, and on down the list, I'm not going to read every one of them, but you can read all of the and then again, these are ranked. A number two is your top priority, going down the left side, and then going down the right side. Those are sort of how these incentive measures were ranked. So as we talk about implementing all these incentive measures, we have to go by what are called the Community Air Protection Guidelines. These are CARB-approved guidelines that were put in place for us to spend the funding that was allocated in the state budget for AB 617 implementation. These CAP guidelines, they're available on CARB's website. I believe they were first implemented in 2018, and then just again, they were updated in 2019. These include a variety of sort of traditional incentive program options that you might find in other state programs, such as the Carl Moyer program. The Carl Moyer program focuses on a lot of heavy-duty equipment and engine replacement, a lot of diesel emission reduction type projects, truck replacements, tractor replacements, agricultural irrigation pump, off-road equipment, basically anything that heavy-duty engines in it. You can replace it with cleaner, either cleaner diesel, natural gas, or electric engines. The Proposition 1B program, heavy-duty truck component, was another component that's specified in the Community Air Protection Guidelines. Essentially, that's for replacing heavy-duty trucks with either natural gas, hybrid, or all-electric heavy-duty trucks. The CAP guidelines include guidelines for chrome plating operations. We didn't identify any here in the Shafter area, and this wasn't prioritized, but it does include guidelines for addressing chrome plating operations with cleaner materials. There's a big component for schools, and this is one that was in several areas, was highly ranked by this committee. It includes air filtration systems, which we'll talk about in a minute. It includes school transportation, replacing school buses with cleaner school buses. And then there's also composite wood products. There's guidelines for replacing composite wood products that are in schools. So these guidelines will provide the framework to also develop and implement all of the community-driven incentive-based SERP measures that we've come up with together and that you'd like to see implemented in the city. So if it's not in the Carl Moyer program guidelines or the Proposition 1B program guidelines, there's going to be a mechanism to develop program guidelines and get them approved by the Air Resources Board so that we can use the Community Air Protection funds to fund those projects. And I'll explain that in just a moment on how that's all going to kind of work. So as we looked at your top priorities, this is that same list of top priorities from the first slide. What you'll see is anything in green on this slide is currently eligible under the CAP guidelines. So heavy-duty truck replacement, we can use existing guidelines. We can move forward immediately with those types of projects. School bus replacement, again, we can move forward immediately with those types of projects. Ag tractor replacement, ag pumps, the diesel rail car movers and switcher locomotives, those are all captured within the existing CAP guidelines. The ones that are left in black are the ones that are going to need to be taken through a process to get approved by the Air Resources Board so that we can spend money, the community air protection funds, that we can spend that funding on those types of projects. So as you can see, we've got quite a few that were community-driven programs that we're going to have to take through a process, and I'll explain that process in just a second. But I just wanted you to see that there are some immediate opportunities, programs that we can immediately get rolling and get going, but there are some that we're going to have to take through a process. This includes programs that are actual already approved district programs, but they haven't been taken through the CARB guidelines for inclusion into the CAP program. So like you'll see the Tune In, Tune Up program. That's an existing air district program, but we have to take that program through this process to get it approved so that we can use the community air protection funds on those types of projects. So this is just sort of an outline on what it's going to take to get these projects approved or these programs approved by CARB for implementation utilizing the community air protection funds. Like I said, CARB is currently developing the guidance for approval of these types of measures that are not already included in the CAP guidelines. That includes, for instance, our low dust harvester program, the tune-in, tune-up program, our alternatives to ag burn program, and the variety of others that you saw on that previous slide. We've been working very, very closely with the Air Resources Board for the last several months to come up with this guidance for incorporation into the CAP guidelines. It's its own chapter. It's Chapter 6. That will include the guidance that we need to take all those projects and programs through to get them approved by ARB so that we can utilize the CAP funds. We expect these guidelines to be incorporated into the CAP program within the next several months. They're not quite done yet. And then following the approval of those guidelines, what we have to do is we have to take each one of those programs, package them up, and submit them to the Air Resources Board for approval. Now, what that means is we're going to have to show how we calculate the emission reductions, or in cases where we're talking about a reduction in exposure, we're going to say, how did we calculate the exposure reduction? What sort of benefits are we going to get? Are there other considerations? Are there dollars per ton or other considerations that, you know, that sort of provide the framework for how we're going to spend that money? And so we're going to have to package each one of those programs up, submit it to the Air Resources Board, and then they'll approve those projects, and then we can go and then implement those projects here in Shafter. Now, the funding that we have available to us right now came to us through AB 856. It was the 2019 state budget. And I believe that's the district has just over $59 million available to us right now. That money is in-house. It's ready to go. So the projects that were in green on that previous slide, we're going to immediately start implementing. In fact, we already have, and I'll go through some of the types of projects that we've already started to implement. As you recall, several months ago, when the SERP was approved by the Air District Governing Board, we committed to starting what we could start, and we have done that, and we'll go through a couple of examples in just a moment. Unfortunately, the liquidation deadlines for this funding, for this particular year's funding, are extremely tight. We have to have this funding completely liquidated, which means paid out, spent out of the Air District by June of 2022. So that's not a lot of time. So we have to get rolling. So time is really of the essence. Yes, ma'am.
For that bill, does it have certain guidelines to use the money, or?
It does. It basically says that you have to use them within the CAP program, and that what I showed you, either the Carl Moyer program or the Proposition 1B program, those are actually specified in the bill language that says this money has to be used in these programs, or this alternate method of including the community-driven programs. So, yeah, it's actually spelled out that this is how that money has to be spent.
And if the money is not used, do you have to return it back, or is it money that already has been spent?
No. So the way it works is that any money that is not liquidated would have to go back to the state. Okay. And that's the absolute last thing that we ever want to do. So we're going to make darn sure that doesn't happen. And so it was talked about earlier on that I think you were talking about maybe shifting priorities from some undersubscribed programs to oversubscribed programs. I think that's going to be absolutely critical, particularly as we get towards, you know, when the timing is really, you know, when we're up against a wall. I think we're going to have to look at stuff like that and say, okay, where can we spend this money quickly? Can we go to some of these programs that you guys have identified that are oversubscribed and spend the money so that we can make sure that we don't have to return it and that we can continue to get funding from future budget allocations?
Another question, I'm sorry. And if... I'm trying to rephrase my question, but if the Air District, is the Air District able to use it not just in Shafter, but all around the San Joaquin Valley, or is it the 55 just for the Air District to use it in whatever city they would like?
The $59 million that we have through AB 856 does not actually have a geographic restriction. There are restrictions that say you have to spend it a certain percentage in disadvantaged communities and low-income communities. But from the Air District's perspective, we've committed this money to both the Fresno and Shafter SERP implementation.
We have another question.
Okay.
And
sure.
I see your hand. You're going to go next.
If there's a liquidation deadline, do you foresee the process of from application to funding shortening? Because the programs take about a year and a half to get from the beginning to the end, and that's not a way to reduce any air quality.
Absolutely. You're 100% right. We're going to be prioritizing projects within Shafter and within Fresno. You're talking specifically about our tractor replacement program, which... Yeah, well, ag pumps right now are fairly, anyway, yeah.
Fairly 5 months, 6 months?
Ag pumps right now are actually within a matter of weeks. If we get an application, we can fund an ag pump within a matter of weeks at this point. But for tractors, yeah, we are so oversubscribed with tractors it is taking, you know, that long. But for this program, we will be prioritizing projects that are within the 7 mile radius and then within Fresno for they'll sort of jump to the front of the line to make sure that we can use those funds quickly.
Todd, we have another question.
Sure.
It might be helpful. It would be helpful for me for you to explain exactly what guidelines are. Do they, and let me be a little more specific.
Sure.
I'm assuming they're the things that the money can be used for.
Yeah.
Does it also specify who qualifies for the money and what is required in the application?
Everything, yeah.
All of those things.
Yeah, everything down to how you calculate the emission reductions, what emission factors you use, the horsepower and the tier level of the engine you're replacing versus the engine you're replacing it with. So everything that we use to calculate the reductions, the project life, so how long we can take credit for that project, whether it's 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever.
And so given that and that there are not guidelines for a good many of the things that are in the SERP, how long, and actually I think most of the people who participated in the process here are interested in things that do not have guidelines
right.
for them. How long is it going to take to get those guidelines done? And then is there a public process in what's required in order to qualify for the money, or is that?
So we've actually already started that process. We have, the Air Resources Board has provided draft language and has provided sort of the framework for what they see as being necessary to get these programs sort of adopted by the Air Resources Board and then included into the SERP. We have been working closely with the Air Resources Board, and they understand that time is of the essence. They understand that we're under a crunch time and that everybody wants to see these programs implemented quickly. So the sooner that we can get that Chapter 6 adopted and into the CAP guidelines, and then that we can start submitting those packages and then receiving those approvals. You know, it's sort of as quick as we can get them in. We've already started sort of packaging our programs together so that as soon as it's adopted by the Air Resources Board, we don't think it's going to change very much from the drafts that we've seen already. So we're anticipating as soon as the Air Resources Board finalizes that chapter, we're going to be able to start submitting those programs. And then
there's not a public process. And when someone comes and they're going to put solar on their house, mm-hmm. they're going to see what the requirements are at that time, and they're either going to be able to qualify or not.
We're going to be putting together those guidelines, and they're going to be based on sort of the guidance that we get from the Air Resources Board. Here's kind of the things that the Air Resources Board wants to see, and then so we're going to design our program around that. So again, for this particular round of funding, the 2019 funding year, the liquidation deadline is June of 2022, which in our world is literally right around the corner. So, you know, we're going to be moving very, very quickly to not only move forward with the programs and the projects that we can move forward with the authority that we already have, but we're going to be working closely with the Air Resources Board to get those new programs approved and incorporated into the SERPs. And so I talked a little bit about the work that we've already been doing since the Air District approved the SERP several months ago. We've been in contact with Richland School District, and we've actually identified four school bus replacement projects. We're actually under contract with them already. They're going to be implementing those, and it's essentially a diesel being replaced with a brand-new electric school bus. It includes the charging infrastructure, which is kind of the last piece we're working on right now. Obviously, you can't have school buses without a place to charge them if they're electric. So we're working on that piece right now, and we're actually very close. We're in discussions with them to replace several more school buses within the city. I think we're looking at somewhere up to an additional 10 buses within Richland School District. To replace with electric buses. Agricultural tractor replacements. I'm sorry, ma'am?
So right now, the only one that you're working with is the Richland School District. What about the Kern High School District?
Kern High School District, absolutely. We don't have a specific contract with them yet, but we've already been in discussion with them. And I believe there's another school, and I apologize, I forgot the name of it, but there's one other school that we're also working with. But you're 100% right, yeah. Was there another question?
Wait.
Rio Bravo sounds right, yeah. But I would have to go back and check for sure. But
not Maple?
Suffice it to say, any school, and if we're not talking to the schools, please let us know. I mean, if you know of schools in the area that we're not,
well,
or we should be talking to.
Grimway is a new school,
mm-hmm.
and so they don't have a bus.
Okay.
So I mean...
Are they under Richland? Okay. Okay. So we've identified a bunch of ag tractor replacement projects that fall within the seven mile radius here. And again, we're sort of prioritizing those projects, moving them to the front of the line. As you heard, we do have a huge queue of projects in our normal tractor replacement program, but these are going to be identified and they're going to be moved forward and funded specifically with the AB 617 funding. We've got several near zero emission and zero emission heavy duty truck replacement projects. Primarily, these are ultra-low NOx natural gas trucks. We've identified several truck projects that actually have addresses here in Shafter, so we're going to be targeting those for replacement. And then we just closed a clean fuel infrastructure RFP, and we identified several potential projects here in the Shafter area, and that includes some natural gas fueling as well as some heavy-duty electric vehicle charging projects. And so we're sort of working through those projects right now. But so those are some of the things that we're initially working on. But again, now that the SERPs have been approved, we're going to be going in all those green categories from that one slide a couple slides ago. We're going to be working through those right now. And again, we're working on packaging up our programs and with the idea that we'll submit those to the Air Resources Board as soon as that guidance is finalized. So okay. Be happy to answer any additional questions.
Tom?
On the clean fuel infrastructure.
Yes.
And the natural gas fueling station. Mm-hmm. Is that going to be for biogas only or any type of natural gas?
I don't believe there is a requirement for biogas, but I can go back and check. I'd have to check our RFP language on that to be specific.
I only ask because in the paper was a biogas-only fueling station in Oildale.
Okay.
And I don't know who paid for that or anything. Okay.
These are still in the planning stages at this point.
Okay.
Our solicitation just closed probably about a month or so ago, and so we're working through those projects right now.
Gustavo?
I just have a couple clarifying questions.
Sure.
It's been a long weekend, man. but the $59 million that is set aside, that's specifically for 617 and for both Shafter and Fresno?
Correct.
And that money could kind of go out the door in conditions that it's within the guidelines that Kyle Moyer, Prop 1B, and those. Okay.
Yeah.
The other one was, I think one great way to honor all the great and hard work that folks have been doing is for example, on the measures that are currently in progress. I think I saw on social media a couple weeks ago that there was a locomotive kind of ribbon cutting event that the Air District did. I think one great way to honor the hard work of everyone here behind me is, say, for the electric school buses or the tractor replacement, that there is a ribbon coming in event, and then the CSC is invited to be part of and honored as part of folks that are
absolutely
responsible for that.
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely want to celebrate those projects as they come online. Great comment.
And a question about ag pump replacement.
Yes.
Does that apply only to diesel ag pumps or to natural gas?
We do. Yeah, we do natural gas to electric as well. Yeah.
Same incentive?
Correct. And we also pay for some measure of line extension as well, because we understand that there's a significant cost with extending the electric lines. Yeah.
Another question from John.
When you say your solicitation process is about to wrap up, help me understand what that have you, are you soliciting for locations to put these in, or
for the alternative fuel?
Yes.
Fueling stations. Yeah, it actually closed probably about a month or so ago. Yeah, we had an open RFP for several months.
Okay.
And this was district wide. This was not just specific to the AB617 communities. This was district wide. We have an ongoing program.
Okay.
But we have actually identified a couple of locations within Shafter and within the 7 mile radius, and so those will be again prioritized.
Any other questions for Todd? Reactions, thoughts?
And so one of the other things that I want to do as we move through these, and we don't have to address these now, but we want to make sure that we're able to get to the right people and get to the right
communities and do it in a way that is most effective. We have our outreach strategies and you know, we're going to be trying to identify projects, but particularly when we start talking about the community level programs, like our tune in, tune up programs and the vehicle replacement programs and, you know, those sorts of things. We want to hear from you on, you know, how we should effectively market those programs in the community, whether it's, you know, is it a community meeting or is it a some sort of event or, you know, some sort of marketing materials that we put somewhere. So that, I think, will be important as we start moving through those types of programs that we get that feedback from the committee. You know, we don't want to waste our time and spin our wheels if we're not, you know, targeting the right people or targeting the right areas. So I think the feedback from this group will be critical as we start to implement some of those programs and really hit the areas that, you know, we think are important to hit with some of these programs.
And Todd, can you clarify when you say feedback, are we asking for emails?
Emails.
We're going to discuss this in the meeting.
It could be through these meetings.
Just going to go to Jamie.
Oh, yeah.
Just okay, so yeah. verbal face to face, emails,
absolutely.
Meetings. Okay. I'm sorry? Sorry. Oh, direct mailing, Jamie? Yes.
Sure.
Can we write the address on the chart paper for direct mailing? Anyone knows it by heart? We're going to write an address for direct mailing on the chart paper, right? And then you can take a picture or write it down. Okay, and John, I didn't forget.
Just would it be possible, and maybe that this is what's being asked, mm-hmm. when you have, you know, special solicitations for things that are in our SERP,
yeah.
that you notify,
exactly.
you know, I wasn't aware that there was a district-wide, you know, solicitation for the clean and mm-hmm. would have liked to. I know we just don't pay that close of attention.
Sure.
So, if the committee members could at least get, you know,
yeah.
notice that hey, we're doing this and it's in the SERP and
yeah, no, absolutely, and that's great, a great point. I should have probably emphasized that a little bit more. That as we roll out some of these programs, particularly the ones that were specifically identified by the community, yeah, we're going to be all over it. We're going to be letting you guys know and you know, utilizing your contacts here in the community to really, you know, drum up business for these, you know, and excitement for these programs.
Okay, Dora has a question.
Yeah, I know you have a lot of these ongoing programs, the Tune In, Tune Up, and the other one. When will you be able to increase the level of eligibility so it's not only like income indigent people, but maybe some of the middle class or whatever? You know, mm-hmm. at what point do you change the program?
We're sort of always evaluating these programs, and we want to make sure that we're hitting that sweet spot that we're providing the incentives where they need, you know, the most help, essentially. We want to make sure that it's enough for people to make those changes, but we're not just we don't want to just give the money away in cases where it's something that they would have already done. So there's always that balancing act that we need to maintain. So but we're always kind of analyzing where that sweet spot is, and we are, you know, making adjustments to our programs on a regular basis.
Okay, we have another question, Angelica.
It was following that statement about the tune in, tune up. What if, because I know we had taken our vehicle in, but because it didn't meet a certain requirement, we weren't able to do the trade-off thing, but we still wanted to do that anyway, to trade in our vehicle to try and get a newer, cleaner one. Is there a way that people can still do that, even if for some reason their vehicle can't meet the qualifications or the requirements to make the exchange?
Without knowing your specific situation, and we can certainly talk off to the side, but I'm not sure which qualification.
Well, it said on there specifically that it had to fail the emission part of the smog test.
Mm-hmm.
Ours didn't,
mm-hmm.
so they couldn't accept us.
Sure.
But we still wanted to be part of the program, but they told us unless if by next when the actual tune-up does, because we went in on the workshop,
mm-hmm.
they said unless of the day of the actual event, for some reason the vehicle messes up or a cousin of yours as a mechanic tinkers with something in there and it messes the emission part of the test, you'll just be wasting your time coming back.
Mm-hmm. No, and we've actually been looking at that exact issue, and we're actually going to be piloting at a few weekend events just what you're talking about, where certain model year vehicles no longer have to fail smog. They're old, and even if they don't fail smog, they're dirty and they need to be off the road. And so we've actually got approval from our governing board to sort of pilot that concept at a couple of weekend events. So we actually will be doing that, and we could probably extend that to the Shafter event, depending on, you know, what the model year is of your vehicle. You may fall into that category. But yeah, we actually have looked at that and have the authority to pilot that.
Yeah, and if possible, can you also specify those specific ones that require or don't require, or if they're in a certain area? Because when we were there, a gentleman from, I believe it was somewhere in Lake Isabella, he had drived all the way down there to the workshop, and they said that they couldn't help him because he was on a different part of it.
Yeah, that's just a function of being outside of our air basin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's not within the San Joaquin Valley Air District.
Yeah. Yeah. So can you also be sure to specify the when you do send out those notices, so that way people are aware, so like someone from Lake Isabella doesn't end up driving all the way down here to realize he has to go back because it's not for him.
That's a good point. And we're fairly clear in our communication that it's for, you know, Valley Air District, but there are those sort of border communities that every once in a while you'll get somebody that is not sure which air district they fall in, and unfortunately end up
just
in that situation.
Just a little clarification on that next
time.
Yeah, thanks for bringing this up. We're hearing several comments about qualification for the vehicles and being more specific about the requirements. Okay, I'm going to have a question or two from the public, and then I'm going to keep us moving. And it looks like you guys have a lot of questions for Todd. You're welcome to talk to him after we're done with this meeting. I'm sure he's going to stay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So as you do these measures, are you going to be able to validate and verify that it will benefit the community? In other words, not have this is supposed to make sure that they meet certain requirements for their reductions. So as you're offering the tune-ups and you're offering the replacement vehicles, are we going to validate that those are actually going to stay here in this Shafter proper, so that Shafter proper benefits from it? Are you going to have some way to, right? Because you have to, right, you do have to validate all of this every year that you've done your reductions, but if the vehicles don't stay here, it's kind of hard for the city to benefit, is what I'm asking.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. In a majority of our programs, we have reporting processes. A lot of our programs, we actually have contractual obligations where, say, for a tractor replacement, you're obligated to operate that tractor for a period of, you know, 3 to 10 years. And, you know, that's validated by annual reports. For the more public-facing programs like the Drive Clean and the San Joaquin vehicle replacement, there's a balancing act. We want to make sure that the program is not too onerous that people are going to not want to participate, and submitting those annual reports could become onerous. And so there's an expectation that the vehicle remains in the district, and through the research that we've done and through operating this program for the last several years and surveys that we've completed and research that we've done, we can verify that a majority of these vehicles stay put. It's not like they get replaced and then they disappear.
Here in Shafter proper for the benefit of the community and not.
I don't know that we would want to restrict somebody if they had to move. I don't know that we would want to restrict that vehicle that, no, I'm sorry, you can't take this vehicle from Shafter. I mean, I think there has to be, you know, some sort of flexibility in the program. Obviously, we want the benefit to remain in Shafter, in Kern County, in the district, but I don't know that we would go so far as to limit where you could drive a particular vehicle. I don't think that's something that we would do. But through everything that we've done and all the research that we've done, a majority of those vehicles are going to stay. If we replace a vehicle in Shafter, it's going to stay in Shafter at least for the next several years. That's what we've seen.
Okay, thank you for your questions. Before we wrap up this conversation, I just want to make sure we write the mailing address on the chart paper, please. If someone from the air district can write a mailing address for Maria on the chart paper. Just, I don't know it. Perfect. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay,
all
great.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, moving on. So next, I want you all to pull out this piece of paper. Looks like that from your materials. This piece of paper, please. And before we dive in into conversation about proposed meeting topics, speakers, and format of the meetings, as we continue to move forward with our implementation meetings, let's spend a couple minutes reading this handout, okay? Let's just all get familiar with that. And handout has proposed schedules, proposed topics for discussion, and outside agencies who we already identified who can participate in these discussions. Okay, everyone had a minute to look at this handout? Great, so this is a proposed schedule for topics for discussion and partner agencies who can participate in identifying some solutions. And yeah, let's ask for your feedback. What are some initial reactions to this listed topics? Also, as you're looking at agencies and topics, we would like to ask what other speakers, what other agencies should we invite for this particular topic? And I know Bianca already has the question.
I'm looking that in July, there's quite a few items added, crammed in there before the reporting in September. Is it possible to somehow divide it so it won't be rushed for the 6 months update?
Sure, yeah. So we have a couple of options there. We can either, so there are basically four items that are listed in July. We could add one of them into May. We do think that the May to May discussion items may take the entire 2 hours. So, but having said that, we can move some into May. The other option is we can have a June meeting, although, you know, this body voted to go every other month, but it really is up to you all. I don't think we have to have everything done by, you know, September. I think the goal is to have demonstrated significant progress on issues by the six-month report. I know some other steering committee meetings are just going to meeting quarterly even. So it's really up to you all. We're happy to do whatever.
So we do have the flexibility to adding more meetings just in case.
It's up to you all. So if this group wants to have that flexibility, they can. If the group says, no, I want to keep it at every other month, that's fine as well.
La sugerencia que dice Bianca es muy buena porque es muy importante para nosotros como comunidad. Porque si se hace en una sola sección nos va a faltar tiempo. Porque no queremos que se vaya rápido y no pongamos bien en claro lo que son los de energía solar y los proyectos para la ciudad. Una pregunta sobre el mes de enero. Aquí habla de los del plan de monitoreo. Yo hasta ahorita no he visto cuántos estaciones de monitoreo van a poner y en dónde las van a poner. Nomás hay uno aquí en Segovia, pero los demás, y uno que pusieron movible en la colonia mexicana. Pero de ahí en más, no sabemos nada de los demás monitoreos. Y ya se están yendo al mes de mayo. Sí me gustaría saber más.
So, with regard to the monitoring, were you here at the January meeting? See, because we had a full presentation on it that went through where all the monitoring stations were going to be. You may not see them in the community. It may not be super apparent that that's what they are, and that's because we don't want them vandalized. So it's only the van that you'll see the sign on, and that van only has that big metal magnetic sign put on it when there is someone actually working on that van. So I know we've got one on top of the DMV. I know we have one at Sequoia, I think, middle school. And then the vans down here on a weekly basis traveling around. We have, I think, two more trailers that move around in locations. And then we have some mobile sites that get set up temporarily.
El de DMV ya sabíamos que estaba ahí. Nunca nos han dado un reporte de eso. Queremos que sean estables, no movibles. Porque en todo el año son diferentes estaciones, diferentes trabajos, y no se va a agarrar toda la contaminación concreta. Un monitoreo estable agarra el mucho más por ciento que un movible. La razón que yo le pregunté es porque pusieron pretextos de electricidad y del lugar en donde ponerlo. Y yo todavía me quedé con esa pregunta. ¿Qué se va a hacer si no hay electricidad? ¿Se puede hacer de energía solar? Porque ya queremos algo limpio. Lerdo necesita un monitoreo ahí, estable. Si está el dinero, que se use. Que no usen cosas más a mí, que se quiera ahorrar dinero o no, que se haga lo que se tenga que hacer, pero que sea permanente para todos. Porque es muy importante la contaminación. Y queremos saber todo lo que nos afecta. Gracias.
Tom, I'm going to go to John first, and then...
Okay, on the monitoring, I know in January monitoring was talked about, but a lot of things were left wide open. There were a lot of unknowns at that time. And one of the biggest unknowns that I have right now that we asked for first thing when we ever began talking about monitoring was monitoring at the Golden Oak playgrounds for preschool and kindergarten that are less than 10 feet from diesel trucks at two stop signs. And I have not yet heard that any monitoring has happened at that location, Golden Oak. It's probably the most critical monitoring we could do in this city, is to see what's hitting those little kids as they play with only a sidewalk separating them from diesel trucks. And I don't know what's happened to that. I think we need thorough updating on monitoring at every meeting we have. and whatever preliminary results are available, we should be able to see those. But yeah, questions about monitoring were left wide open in January. We're not hearing anything about it tonight. And it's very critical that this be done early and thoroughly so that we get a whole year's worth of data as soon as possible. And apparently, it's just barely beginning in some areas. And things like monitoring dairies, nobody's ever said whether we're going to do that or not, even though we asked for it very strongly.
Okay, we hear you. We hear you asking about monitoring update and stationary sources. Jamie?
I got it.
Okay. Now, she got it. Now, folks, yes, but we're hearing you loud and clear, Maria. Thank you for your comment, Tom. Thank you for the comment. Now, as it comes to also what we've heard as a feedback on this proposed schedule of topics, Bianca, we've heard that July seems very packed, and if we can by any means separate those topics, any other feedback or initial reactions to proposed schedule? And also, I see hand there, John, then I'll go to, and then you and Gustavo, okay?
Yeah, I think the other thing that I would like to see is an update at every meeting on where we are with the new guidelines that are being put together, and if possible, copies of them, when appropriate. But we need to know how that is progressing and when it's going to be available, because you're right. I mean, I think this is almost mission impossible with some of these programs. So, I would echo the monitoring issue. It, given as much effort as we put into the monitoring program, it doesn't feel like we certainly are not beyond it for it to have been captured in January and not any place else on this schedule.
Okay, I'm coming next to you.
Going off of what Bianca had said about a lot of things being in May and July, if we were to have other meetings, is it possible to possibly move, say, like the school filtration systems, that's in July, schools out, and if we were to get any feedback from the schools, it might be helpful to have it like an April meeting, if at all possible. I know in June they get out. If we needed feedback from them. And then also with the urban greening and vegetarian barriers, I don't know, we're all just going to discuss it, and I don't know how long it will take to get everything going, but, maybe the use of a vegetarian barrier over by Golden Oak, by the playground, or using alternative things like that, if we could talk about that when the school district could be in here too, maybe in another meeting, just a thought.
Here's a second. Okay, I coming to you.
Wayne Clausen, City of Shafter. And you're on the schedule, you've got a category of outside agencies, and for each of the items, there's agencies identified. I see City of Shafter's on the last one for October. I just need to know what our role is there, or what sort of involvement City of Shafter and County of Kern would have with that particular topic.
I think that would be some of the land use issues that were in the SERP. Some of the stuff that, and when you look in the SERP, it actually, each of the strategies has kind of who it involves. So I don't remember the exact strategy numbers, but there are a couple in there that it has to be coordination with the county and the city. Okay.
But I mean, are you expecting the county and the city to be there presenting on the item?
Or? I think that's far enough out that we really hadn't decided exactly what role you guys would have. And partly that's going to kind of depend on what role you feel is appropriate and how that kind of collaboration works.
Very good. Thank you.
And Gustavo, I saw your hand.
Something that I don't see here are the conversations about the potential stipends. I know there's also a larger cohort of AB617 community members that's like from all 10 communities across the state. And we met in UC Davis, and we also met, aside from that, there's another group called the 617 Consultation Group meeting, which is all the APCOs, EJ folks, and stuff like that. And then at that meeting in Sacramento a week or two ago, I know that the Air District said yes. They want to continue the conversation moving forward about paying some type of incentives. And I know for other parts of the state, there's folks that were paid $250 to participate or $75 per meeting. That's not everywhere. That's in the U.S.-Mexico border and the Bay in L.A. in those areas. So I definitely would love to see what the proposal is for a SEP or for a stipend for residents, particularly residents in this somehow. And then also for the six-month report draft, I'd really like to see how the steering committee really participates, you know, within that, and then how they could have their consensus or have their information put into that. And then as far as like the SERP metrics and this whole program, the SERP is on how we're going to reduce emissions overall. So from day one to day 90, what are the like theoretical emission reductions that have happened, within the 6 month period?
So on the topic of stipends, Gustavo, you were there. Samir was very vocal with his support of the people getting stipends and being supportive of that. The one thing we asked is ARB to incorporate that as part of the blueprint. That was one of the things that one of the steering committee members in Fresno also brought up. It was outlining the importance of ARB to quickly make those changes to the blueprint, and one of the things we're looking specifically at would be the incorporation of stipends, understanding that some community steering committee members did receive stipends, many did not, so trying to bring some equality to the process itself to develop that process so that way that stipends can be given, because there's an understanding of the time commitment that everybody is spent into this process, time away from families, jobs, other things. To us, it made sense to advocate for that. So we're looking to continue to work with ARB to get that incorporated to do that.
Folks, I want to make sure we keep moving and we're on time and we're getting out of here on time. Bianca, I'm going to go to you in a second. Now, any other, we've heard several suggestions, including separating the topics. Any other suggestions?
Well, and I would just pose in response to one that we've heard several times, is that we add both an April and a June meeting, and we do our best to split up the July topics into an April and a June meeting, and then use July as some type of review of a report. I'm open to additional suggestion there, but I would like a little bit of flexibility depending on when we can get people in to talk about the four issues laid out in July. So I like Linda's idea of trying to do it, but I just want that flexibility in case schools say, hey, we'd rather come in July or in June and talk. I mean, I doubt they will, but, that flexibility.
Yeah.
Hearing you, definitely next meeting, a component for monitoring would be discussed and addressing the questions and the concerns raised by the, I did get feedback that we have looked at and we've done monitoring near and the Golden Oak playground area. And so yes, they've done monitoring around that playground area, as well as the other areas identified through the community air monitoring program. So one of the things in the blueprint was the requirement to provide that data to ARB. My understanding is we're currently working on getting that information gathered together to transmit over to them, in which case then they'll have the outward-facing portal for people to be able to go and see that information.
And just to piggyback on that, I think, and if we can make a note of this at the next meeting, if we'll do a little bit of a monitoring update, we'll do a little bit of a grants guidelines update, and if Scott, if you can have any update on the CARB stipend and or public-facing website that displays all the monitoring data, I think both of those would be good CARB ones. Anything else that we're forgetting?
We're forgetting something?
Yeah.
Okay. Very briefly, please.
Well, on the updates, I think the electric car thing, we got three different things going on that citizens really can are interested in and Shafter residents. The meal car rental program, we need updates on that because people need to help get that going. And then the whole thing about electric car incentives, where's it going to go? How are we going to adjust the program so that this money actually gets used? And then the chargers. A lot of money was put in the SERP for electric chargers, which I assume is for residents to use. We need a lot more discussion about that, where those are going to be, who's going to own them, all kinds of stuff related to that that's unknown.
Folks, I'm going to have about 7 minutes, and this is what I would like to do. I would like you to look at the list one more time right now and tell us, are there any missing outside agencies that we should invite to this conversations, to these meetings, to these discussions? Some of the agencies are already listed. Are any outside agencies that are missing that immediately come to your mind? And we would like to, I have Bianca and hand on the public. Okay, and we're going to write it down.
For the month of May, there's the Ag Measures Pesticide. It only has DPR, but I was wondering if the Ag Commissioner from Kern could come in. He's actually the number one that's going to help us out for the notification and what's going on in Kern, so we really want him to be on the table too.
Perfect. I'm coming to the back. Did we catch that on the chart paper, the name of the agency? Yes? Okay.
And yes, he will be here, just FYI. And I'm speaking on behalf of the Farm Bureau, so he will be here. But also to what you're going to be, I recommend for your urban green vegetation, you definitely need Shafter-Wasco Water District. They are the water district who supplies water to this area. They're in deficit. They're not in surplus, so he's going to need to figure out whether or not or how he's going to move forward with providing additional water. So because of the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, he cannot exceed his allocations. So it's very important that he be in the room to discuss that.
Another comment from you?
Kern COG's available to come talk about any of the road or other transportation-related issues. I can also put you in touch for the MEO car. In the meantime, we have our website, kerncog.org, where we have posted the most recent MEO car report to us, which was last Thursday, February 27th, well, 2 weeks now. And then also on the Kern COG website is our EV charging station blueprint, and we've identified many, many locations within the city of Shafter, and I would encourage people to go to that and give us some feedback and see if what we've prioritized is correct or if there's other station locations. So again, I'd ask you to go to that website.
Linda, can you send me the link to email me the link to all of those, and we'll email the link out to everyone, and then when we send our hard copy emails out that we often do, we'll include that.
Okay, folks, take this handout home if any other agencies came up or people you can think about it. Please email Jamie.
Or call me.
Who doesn't have Jamie's email? Raise your hands. Okay, perfect. You're
good. For better or worse.
We don't need to. Okay, so thank you again for the suggestions. We, as always, captured everything on the chart paper, and everything will be reflected in your in the written notes that will be posted on the website. Before we leave for the evening, we do want to provide you a quick update on participation, member participation. And before that, we start doing that, I would like the new committee member to raise your hand, please.
Welcome, Michelle.
Michelle, let's give her a round of applause. And Michelle, I don't know if everyone already knows you in the room, but I don't. So two questions for you. A, how long you lived in Shafter? And B, what inspired you to participate on this committee?
I've lived in Shafter almost my whole life, about all but 10 years. So I don't want to do the math for you. Thank you. And I care about our community and making sure we have the balance between our community and our vendors and keeping us going in a positive direction, and so we can all be good neighbors and good stewards to each other.
Thank you. Great. Jamie, do you want me to provide a quick update?
I'll do the update real quick. So you're probably wondering, how did Michelle get on the committee?
Yes.
Well, we are, as we mentioned at, I believe, the last meeting and the meeting before, actively soliciting additional residents to be on the committee. We did go out and call, first of all, we called two people who had never been and basically said, hey, you've never been. We really don't think like you're committed to this committee. And in both cases, they said, what was this again? And so they are no longer on the committee. We did call, and none of them look like they're here, I don't think, although I could be wrong. We also called those individuals who had missed more than 75% of the meetings and told them they needed to come tonight or we're going to be kicked off the committee. So, well, politely asked to leave based on their lack of interest in the committee. And we'll have a few more openings after that. I say openings, there's no quota for who gets on and who gets off. We are just in a period where if there are residents in this community that want to participate and are willing to go and learn about the SERP or the air monitoring plan and go online and do a little homework. And Michelle actually had about four different conversations with us just to make sure she understood what she was getting into. We want to welcome those folks. If you know people that you think would like to be on the committee, please have them reach out to us. It's as easy as you sending us a contact for them, a phone number, or an email address, and we will reach out to them and see if they would be interested in being on the committee. Like I said, we would very much like this room to be filled again, especially if it's filled with residents.
Dora?
We can give you an updated list of committee members. How about that? We'll email that out to you. Jess, can you make a note to do that? If not, by the end of this week, next week, with who the people are and kind of their status, whether they're a resident or government or business or any of that. I don't know that, I assume everyone was on board with the plan to have an April and June meeting.
I see nodding.
Okay.
Anyone has other thoughts?
But let me put it this way. Is there anyone that's not okay with it? We have consensus.
Okay. Wow. Amazing.
I love Shafter, so I actually don't mind coming down here. And we also need food recommendations.
Yes.
And if it's someone you all are comfortable with that's maybe from Wasco or so, mm-hmm. we're okay with that if you feel they're good enough to mm-hmm. bring in.
So you can email or mail or your food recommendations to Jamie. Well, on that note, anything else for the greater good of this committee? No? Okay. Good night, everyone.